Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Chiri, and welcome to the Starlight Show. Well, I got pretty interesting things to tell you tonight. First of all, I'm going to elaborate a little bit on my meeting with George Norrie and what happened on the way to Los Angeles. First of all, realize that in last June, when I was on his show for the first time, I did some prediction for him, and I told him, George, you will be doing some TV show next year. He was kind of surprised, and he had no idea that my prediction was going to come true, and it did. But, 4 or 5 days ago, maybe a week ago, I can't remember exactly, I got a call from this guy, and he says, hi, Dr. Chiri, I'm working with George Norrie on this new TV show, and I was wondering if you could make it to Burbank. And he said, we're going to fly you there, get you a hotel, and, you know, we pay you and everything else. And I said, well, cool, I don't mind to do that. And we set it all up, and then we talked about the show, what he wanted to do, and as it is about Nostradamus and predictions, so I decided to actually drove there. So we drove there, and you know, we loaded the truck, and we just pack up everything, and did my predictions and everything else, get it all ready, and there we are on the way to Los Angeles, to Burbank. And I was with my girlfriend, Samantha. And we left something like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought, well, I'm so busy, the later time I go, the better it'll be, so I can catch up with a few things. And we load the truck, and I thought, okay, the plan is simple. We're going to drive through the desert and maybe stop in a, you know, deserted area. Plenty of those for the 400 miles trip that we have to do there, and maybe, you know, shoot my guns or whatever. And, you know, I thought when we get there, we'll, you know, eat something nice and enjoy the evening and whatever. So we took off. And then we were on the highway, and incidentally, it was very busy when we left. And we were driving, and Samantha, you know, always talk about astrology. She loves the stars. She loves anything that is spiritual. And she has a very specific connection with UFOs and ETs. One of the reasons why, you know, we were attracted to each other. So she goes, maybe we're going to get abducted. I said, sure. You know, she was just laughing and, you know, joking about the entire deal. I thought, yeah, okay, well, why not? Who knows? Man, was she right? So we drove in about what seems to be 30 to 40 miles before Palm Springs. I decided to call my friend Owen, good friend that I have for many, many years, who lives in Pasadena. And I knew I was going to go by his house, so I thought, might as well, you know, stop and say hello to him. So I called him, and we spoke about all sorts of things, and he was very happy to hear about me coming to L.A., and he said, you better stop, and we're going to go for sushi or something. So I said, okay. And he said, where are you? I said, well, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm coming up to Palm Springs. So I said to him, as soon as I'm out of Palm Springs, I give you a buzz because, you know, I know how far we'll be then. And that was it. And, you know, I hang up and we keep driving. We drove for a while. And I don't know how many of you have been driving High 10 on the way to Los Angeles, but it's practically impossible to miss those thousands of high windmills. The area is between two big mountains, and the hot air from the desert rays and attract the cool air from the coastline, from the ocean, from the Pacific Ocean, And all this area is so windy. Each time you drive through those two mountains, you feel the wind literally lift up your car. It's so windy. And but most of all, as I said earlier, it's practically impossible to miss those windmills. And the night was coming down, so I drove through this area. I don't know. I can't even count it. How many times I drove there, it's just impossible to miss the landmark or not to feel the wind. And I was looking for the flashlight on top of those windmills so that I would know roughly where I am as I was getting supposed to Palm Springs. And I do have also a very good friend in Palm Springs. He's actually a movie producer, and he lives in the Gulf Coast. So I kind of always locate myself, you know, as I drove through Palm Springs. And we keep driving and we keep driving. And I was talking to Samantha about all sorts of things, what we're going to do on the show, the prediction and this and that. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, but what's going on? Where? And we should be in Palm Springs already. I just don't understand. I mean, I've been driving 85 miles per hour. I got a beautiful brand new SUV. That thing flies on the highway. I say, I don't understand. It's not the time we spent, you know. We stopped some places to get some rocks. I can't remember the name of the quartzite. Yes, we stopped there for about 15 minutes, and we grabbed some crystals. And then we stopped for gas and get some water. We didn't stop, really, apart from what was needed to do. So I had my own clock in my mind to know how long it would take me to get to Palm Springs and then to my friend's house. Still no Palm Springs. I said, okay, all right. Then finally, we saw a road sign that says Palm Springs. I looked at Sam and said, here you go, here we are in Palm Springs. In my mind, I was 150% sure that I was in Palm Springs. The only thing is, I was still looking for those high windmills and for the flashing light on top of the windmills, which literally illuminate the entire area. And still, I did not see those windmills. I said, there's something very weird going on here. Very, very weird. Then of a sudden, I saw another sign, and that sign says West Covina. Immediately, I thought, okay, I got it. Okay, that's it. So I turn around, look at Samantha. She was still, you know, talking about all sorts of things, and I say, honey, she says, what? I says, we've been abducted. She says, what do you mean? I said, we are at West Covina. She said, oh, really? I said, yeah. And guess what? Do you remember those windmills? She said, of course. When we drove through there, she says, yeah, yeah, I know where they are. And I said, did you see them? She goes, no. I said, I did not see them either. So we were like 45 miles after Palm Springs. Well, you got it, guys. It did happen again. But that's not the end of the story. I was still, you know, wondering about all these things. Of course, Samantha, it was her first missing time. I don't think she had ever had any missing time. Of course, providing we missed like 100 miles in a few seconds, like it happened with my ex-wife on the way to Los Angeles from San Diego in 1991, chances are it would have been a little bit more of a dramatic experience for her. But, of course, she didn't see nothing. She didn't know anything. So, to her, it was just like, okay, so what? That's it. And that's it. So, I was still wondering in my mind, you know, what happened here. And then finally, she says, maybe when we go back, you should hypnotize me so we can find out what's going on. She suggested a good idea, and I said, okay, let's see if we can do that. So, anyway, and we kept driving. And then I called my friend Owen. I said, Owen, okay, I'm in West Covina, and I'll be in your house shortly. He says, no problem. And we drove. I exit exactly what I'm supposed to exit, like I have done a million times last 10 years to go to my friend Owen's house. And I took on the street, and I drove two or three lights, and I gave very specific attention to the left turn that I must take on a street. So I have the landmark, I have the street names in mind, I'm very focused to take that turn. Guess what? I don't know where I am again. So I said, what's going on? So I turned the track around, and I stopped the car, and I called my friend Owen. I said, Owen, I'm sorry, man, I can't find your house. He was laughing his head off. He says, you came to my house last 10 years, and you don't remember how to get here? I said, Owen, I don't know where I am. So he told me, okay, where, tell me where you are. So I gave him the name of the street, the name of the crossroad, and he said, well, you only, what, a few blocks past the street you should have turned. But I said, Owen, I just drove a couple blocks, and I kept looking at that street, and I didn't see it. There you go. So he stayed on the cell phone with me, and literally, I hold my hand all the way, to the front of his house. And I just could not believe I have been to Owen's house last 10 years regularly. I got lost. Is it because I was abducted and we never saw Palm Springs and still my own computer, my own memory, my own reaction was slow or something? I don't know. I just don't know. But I had to share this little story tonight about an abduction that took place with a man. All right, Jace, there is some people calling my line, and I would ask you guys not to call. Ain't my number, my personal number. All right, now, we arrive at his house. I try to explain to him what we went through. But again, it is such a private experience, such a personal experience when you get abducted or when you're going through any UFOs experiences. And nobody can really understand unless you go through it yourself. You have the right to be skeptical and to think either I was smoking pot or drinking, which I don't. So I leave it to you. All right, so we had some sushi, and then we drove to our hotel. And here we are. We are relaxing, watching a movie, and we fall asleep. Next day, we woke up. I was supposed to go to the studio in Burbank. I had to be at the studio around 10 o'clock in the morning. And we made our way to the studio. And what's interesting, the studio is less than a mile away from the Los Angeles Zoo, the Glendale exit, where I actually, in 1991, with my wife, landed, taking literally from San Diego to Los Angeles in a fraction of a second. That was very weird that I did that TV show at that very same area that I had this incredible UFO experience in 1991. And the night before, I was abducted again. That's very, very weird. All right, so we arrived at the station. George Norris' staff were very, very professional, very nice. They took care of us. We had breakfast. They showed us the studio. They took care of us in every possible way. And, of course, I had to, with the help of Samantha, we brought my artwork on the stage. And all the cameramen was there. The studio was humongous. The lights, all the setup were there. It was all very pretty, all very nicely made, put it this way. And if you guys received my last newsletter, my experience with George Norrie, if you scroll down to the bottom of the newsletter, you can see a picture of George Norrie and I on the TV set. There were a very big crystal ball. The drape was red. We were sitting on two chairs. And the first thing I noticed is that the hand shears had two heads of the rams. There was also a big, huge horn on the left side of the set of a ram. And it's important for me to let you know that both George Nori and I were born with the dragon's head in Aries, or the dragon's head in the ram. And to have those artifacts, these shears, to me were incredible omens that the pilot show, knowing that Aries is the leader and the pilot, that we did will certainly go a long way. So that was interesting, and I had to mention that. Comes the time to do the taping, so I was asked by the makeup artist to go in that little room, and she took care of me. She made me up, took care of me, making me more beautiful than I already am, took care of powdering my nose and my hair and all that stuff. Then I went to the studio, got wired up. You know, the engineer, the sound engineer was there. We got a bunch of cameramen. Everything was absolutely phenomenally professional. It was really, really good. And I sat there. And George Nori just arrived after me, and he was also being made up by the makeup artist. And then he finally came to the set. As soon as he saw me stand up, I came to him, he checked my hand. He's got a really strong grasp. And he says, "Dr. Tree, thank you so much for coming to my show. And guess what? You are indeed the most famous host that I ever had." Now, that made my day right there. He says, "You're just phenomenal. And I'm totally blown away because of your predictions. I mean, to actually be so precise and give dates like you do is just totally out of the ordinary, and that's why I decided to have you on the TV show." So we talked about all sorts of things and all the guests that he had doing the show before and after me and everything else. So that was incredible. So he started by asking me all sorts of questions. I mean, the guy is a professional. He really is a pro. He introduced me like he does on the radio, smoothly, professionally, perfectly. And start to ask me incredible question that I was not exactly prepared, but that's the way it works. He's a really good interviewer. So he literally forced me to say things that I would not normally say. I had to give very specific dates of every single month of 2006. Of course, I gave him a copy of those dates and predictions and so forth that it will be probably on his website, or I might just put it on my website soon. So the show lasts for hours and hours, and I cannot divulge everything that I talked about because there were so many things, but I guarantee you that this show is going to be just phenomenal. And then we went for lunch, for dinner after that, and we get to cut, you know, with him a little bit more. He became a very friend with Samantha. How about you expect? Samantha is so beautiful. Everybody wants to be friend with her. And lastly, he says, "Are you going to stay in town tonight?" I said, "Well, I'm not exactly sure." And he said, "Here, here's my cell phone. If you guys stay in town tonight, let me take you out to Beverly Hills." And I discussed it with Samantha, but we had planned to leave the next day for San Diego, SeaWorld, you know, take a day off for a change. And so we politely turned it down. But it was an experience to really meet the guy, you know, talk to him. And he shows as much respect that I show him to me. We're both professionals, so the show went just perfectly fine. But it was quite interesting. And, of course, I know, being a Gemini, things happen by two with him, or four, or six, or eight. So chances are I will see him again in time and space. And this time I will definitely spend more time with him because I was not prepared for him to ask us out. So that is basically what transpired lately with George Nori. And we're getting pretty close to my next prediction, which should be a couple days from today, I believe, where I mentioned on the show that thousands of people would be forced to relocate because of nature, devastating force, and hopefully it's not going to be the United States. But as you know, those predictions will come true. Just sit tight, watch it. All right, now, I'd like to talk a little bit about the general pattern of the stars. And if you have any question, just call the 800 number and I'll take care of you. Usually it's the first 30 minutes where I talk about all sorts of things, and the other 30 minutes is dedicated to you, the listener. So if you have any questions about love, about your health, your subconscious, phobia, ETs, your dragon, let me know, and I will answer you. So just call the show, and I'll be right there for you. Now, let's look a little bit at the stars above our head tonight. The moon is in Gemini tonight, and Gemini always, always supports communication, transportation. Maybe you're going to get a call from your brother or your sister. Remember, Gemini rules, brothers and sisters. And my sister emailed me today from Corsica, in the south of France, telling me what was going on with the rest of the brothers and sisters. So just be prepared for that, of course. When the moon is in Gemini, you can also use it for talking to your family or taking care of your cars or getting maybe some equipment for communication or change the oil in your car. There's so many different things that you can do when the moon is in Gemini. The speed, the intellectual power is right there when the moon is in Gemini. The idea is to also focus. You know, in my own case, born in February, I have right now Mars transiting my home area. You're not going to believe this. Since Mars has been cruising my home area, I had somebody that came and fixed my roof. Now, last 2 days, I have a bunch of people that are building a wall around my house. And then another guy that's coming in 3 days from today to redo the deck of my pool. So, here I am, trying to make some progress with the millions of requests that I have every day. Of course, I don't get close to the phone because it gets too busy. Samantha is there all day long answering all your questions. And meantime, between two readings, I go outside, take my shirt off, and then, you know, maybe dig a little bit with the cement myself and fix some area. I saw those guys pouring wheelbarrows of concrete, and there is area in the back of my house when I needed some concrete. So I gave the guy $20, and he gave me a full wheelbarrow of concrete, and I am with my shovel just playing around for 1 hour or so under the red hot sun, regenerating, fixing things. Of course, I hurt myself. Moss means danger. Wherever moss is located in your chart, it means danger. Moss means machinery, building. Remember, Moss was the sign of Aries, the sign of Germany. So wherever this Moss is transiting on your chart, you have to be careful. Right now, it's in my home, and I'm doing all of those projects in the house. Now, you have to be careful also when Moss is in your home, because if you are very emotional or temperamental, chances are this Moss is going to make you aggressive and impatient and could hurt you. You know, I remember once upon a time when I was a kid, Moss was transiting my home area, and I got upset with one of my friends, and I just, you know, hit the door, and I broke my finger. Moss in the fourth house in Taurus. Now, let's say you have Moss on your seventh house of marriage. Well, I tell you what, you got to be careful, because this is where you will compete with your partner, okay? This is where you and your boyfriend or your girlfriend are going to get at each other's throat, because Mars can be really nasty. So how do you control Mars? Well, you know, I always teach my students that regardless of any stars, the will that you were born with or the part of God in you is much stronger than Mars. Pluto, Saturn, or Mercury, God knows what. So the idea is to be aware of where this planet is transiting in your chart, and you dwell with the affairs of this house cautiously. Let's say, for example, Mars is on yourself in your first house. Let's say you were born in May. Mars is in Taurus right now. So if you were born in May, you've got Mars in your face. Okay? Now, you have to understand also that on the medical aspect of my work, Mars rules your neck. Okay? So, Mars in Taurus, care for your neck. This is how Mr. Superman, sad enough, regardless how famous and powerful the man was, he did not know that he was born with a very negative aspect to Mars in Taurus. And
Dr. Torrey?
Yes?
Hi, my name is Jane, and I live in Virginia. And I have a question regarding when you were on Coast to Coast, the last time you were talking about something really, really bad for the 29th.
Well,
and I know George asked you to elaborate. You said that it would be really scary. Are you willing to elaborate a little bit more on it now?
I mean, you know, each time I give any dates out there, it's going to be nasty. You know, when the last prediction that I did, and I said explosion, and you got those bombs blowing up in Jordan, or the tornado killing 25 people or whatever. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Every single date that I give has a very nasty intonation. Again, on the 29th, I know I have a bad feeling about these dates. It's something that I kind of put my hands to. I just hope to be wrong. And you know how wrong I can be. So I have a feeling that it could be either something to do with terrorists, the police, definitely something that could also be from the past coming back alive again. You know, we are talking about Michael Jackson again, secrets coming back to the light. That is a very simplistic, not dramatic energy, and I hope it's going to be something like that, but I doubt very much. So you just have to kind of be cautious on the date that I give and wait and see on the day before or after as the window goes through, see what will transpire. And as I said to George Norrie on the show, you know, we are not doomed. Every one of our thoughts converge into the superconscious in time and space. And he said to me, but why do you emphasize negative prediction, Dr. Turi? And I said, because people remember negativity. Everything around you is nasty. Everything around you is negative. Don't worry, you're not going to go to hell. This is hell. That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm using that energy which transpires on the date, but we have the potential to alter the course of our destiny. If you don't want anything negative to happen on the 29th, okay, you and all the listeners out there should beat me. In other words, you should send every single day positive thoughts. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, what you predict doesn't have to be nasty. Nobody has to die. It could be something that is dramatic, but where many people will not die. Start to go against the negative energy. I'm just following the trend to prove to people that that thoughts are things. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Okay. So,
yes.
You know, just go against all that is negative with your thought, because I give the negative prediction, but in the back of my mind, I neutralize it, and I thought, okay, I want it to be away from the United States. I don't want many people to die. I hope it's something that we all have to go, which is through nature. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to have many deaths. But here again,
right.
You know, I can only tell you how I perceive the forces at work and how to counteract it through the superconscious in time and space. It's going to take many, many years, as I said on George on his show, many years before we can turn the negative thought process into a positive thought process. Remember, up and down, black and white, the front, the back, positive, negative. We are now into this supremely negative energy where everybody fight each other, where everybody's depressed, where everybody kill each other, where this world is going through what the Christians firmly believe, the apocalyptic time. It is actually a religious negative energy that produces the energy that we are in today. Everybody is expecting the apocalyptic time, the end of the world, and there is no doubt in their mind. And here I am trying to make people aware of the negative energy and how we can change this, because one day I'm going to do the opposite. One day I'm going to give only positive dates, personally and for the world. But for now, I am at that point, and I'm trying to educate the masses to be very careful of what they think about, okay? And God did not put us again on earth to die a violent death or to have a life which is so dramatically impacted by the stars and nature. It's all within the superconscious in time and space. Mankind is not yet aware that he is a God in training and is responsible for his thoughts creating his reality and his own future. All right.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Could I ask you to tell me what my dragon is?
What year were you born, honey?
I was born in 1953, September 11th, which has gotten real fun lately because I feel guilty about having a birthday because my birthday is 9/11.
Yeah. Okay, your tail of the dragon is in the sign of Leo. That means in a past life you were a male. That's why you're strong. That's why you're independent. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Okay, now do you get a headache?
You don't know how accurate you are.
I know, honey. Do you get any headaches or sinuses?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Really bad.
I know. Well, with the tail of the dragon in the sign of Leo, the affairs of love, romance, and your upbringing could have been also difficult with you. But you seem to be very lucky in communication, writing, and anything to do with high-tech, including astrology. You're very lucky. My top students were born in September, by the way. I got 5 of them now. They all were born in September. Now, you have the moon in Libra, so you're a natural psychologist, and you're very sensitive. You have a natural drive for partnerships, love, and justice in this chart. It is a beautiful chart, honey. When you can afford it, sometime do your full life reading and let me take care of you.
Okay.
All right. So now, one more question. Is there any history or heart problem in your family?
Actually, no. My mom died of congestive heart failure, but she'd been smoking since she was 15.
You said no, but it's actually yes.
No one else in the family has heart problems. In fact, in my family, everyone lives till way in their 90s unless they smoked, and then they died early.
All right, except your mom. Okay. Now, try not to nurture a fear of death and disease, okay?
Okay.
All right. You're going to live a long life, honey.
Probably.
Well.
if I don't fall off the ladder. We're remodeling our house right now, and I'm extremely strong.
Interesting. Well, right now, Mars is on the 9th house. Are you thinking of taking some study also? Or traveling? Just a question.
Yes, traveling, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, just make sure to travel after the new moon to avoid any problem, okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yep. That's interesting that people get to connect with me when I talk about the superconscious in time and space. If you only knew, oh my gosh. Once I had this, let me put it this way so that you understand me a little bit more about the superconscious. When I was a kid, my mom and my stepfather was constantly arguing, constantly. And I used to say to them, come on, you guys are the adults here. Is there any way you could talk to each other without fighting? Okay? And they kept fighting and they kept... I again, somebody is trying to call my number. I will have to get a different number to do the show. I apologize to my listener. All right, so I actually told them to stop screaming. They did not. They kept screaming months and months and months. And it takes such a hard work for people to adapt to each other before they can really understand each other. It takes so much work, so much patience to actually connect with someone. Now, I always say, you know, to all my students that the meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, and trust me, there is plenty of reaction between two people that meet each other, both will be transformed. Okay? This is a quote that I got from Jung, of course. Now, they still kept screaming at each other, and then one morning I woke up and I had some serious discharge from both of my ears. And my mom was so scared, said, oh my gosh, by looking at the pillowcase. So she took me to the doctor. The doctor looked at me inside of my ears and he says to my mother, you've got to take Louis immediately to the emergency room. The emergency room was what? 30 miles away. We were living in a very small village. So they drove me to that place. It was a nightmare in my head. Oh my gosh, I was so much pain. I was in so much pain. We arrived there, and the doctor looked at me, and they gave me like 8,000 unity of penicillin trying to stop the infection that was going on in both of my eardrums, my ear canal. And after a week or so, the doctor says to my mom, well, this is Terry, there is nothing we can do for Louis. We have tried everything that we have in the hospital. There is absolutely no reaction whatsoever with the most powerful antibiotic that we have. The infection does not stop. So that was the diagnosis, of course. The prognosis was that I was supposed to die within 2 or 3 weeks with a brain infection, becoming blind, and whatever. So he says to my mom, there's no point of keeping Louis in the hospital, so you might as well take him home. So my mom was all going crazy, crying and depressed. Oh, my gosh, what happened to my son? I was, barely 13 years old, something like that. So she brought me home. But she didn't want me to literally, hypothetically speaking, die in front of my 7, 8 brothers and sisters. So she says, look, you're going to stay with Grandma. And she took me to Grandma. And Grandma lives on the farm, okay? And guess what? Grandma never, ever raises a voice. Grandma never scream. Grandma is all positive and loving. The only thing I could hear is the soft voice and the bird and the chicken and maybe the cow making some noise out there. And the very next day, like by magic, the infection stopped. In less than 3 days, I was completely and entirely back together. My eardrums were back normal. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. When you are a child, there is no filter between you and your subconscious. My wish was very clear. I did not want to hear my mom and my stepfather screaming at each other. I had enough. I did not want to hear that. My subconscious, call him God if you like to, okay, does not know what's right, what's wrong. God will create an earthquake and kill innocent babies. So not knowing what's right, what's wrong, or not making difference between what's good or what's bad, my subconscious granted my wish because I now know that the future is the reincarnation of the thought. So my subconscious granted my wish by making me impaired, by literally destroying my hearing. Do I make sense? This is also...
Dury? Hello?
Hello?
Dr. Dury?
Yes, who is this?
Yes, my name is Tony. I'm calling from Colorado.
Okay, Tony?
And my birthday is March 13th, 1952.
All right, so you are a Pisces, and what's your question, honey?
I was wondering where my dragon was.
Well, guess what? 1952, you have the dragon in Aquarius. Aquarius was the new age, the stars, computers, television. Let me give you some people's names that have your dragon. Remember, Aquarius rules television, okay? Oprah Winfrey, Larry King, who else? Elvis Presley, who spent his life on television, and Einstein. Now, you need to reach your dragon's head. Every one of us is stuck on the tail. In your case, you're stuck on the Leo dragon's tail, like the previous lady. Okay? And Leo means always some problems with love, romance, and children. Do you have any kids?
I have one daughter, 20.
Did you raise her by yourself?
For 8 years, I did.
That's what I thought, yes. Now, being a Pisces and having the head of the dragon in your subconscious, you have a natural aptitude to tap on the superconscious yourself. You need to educate on the working of your subconscious. Now, do you use computers?
Yes.
Good. Okay, because that's on your dragon's head. Okay. Now, the same question I always ask to people when they have the tail of the dragon in Leo. Is there any problems, heart problem in your family, like heart attack, things of this nature?
Yes, my mother.
Your mom.
She passed. Okay,
second lady. Mother. Okay. So you need to, first of all, yourself, born with the tail of the dragon in Leo, you could also, because of your mom's death, develop some fear of disease or death. Do that make sense?
Yes.
So don't do that to yourself. Remember what I was talking before you called?
The positive thought?
Absolutely.
Yes.
You need to realize the power of your thought. Now, do you do any form of art?
No.
No, not writing?
No, I read a lot.
You read a lot. Well, I tell you what, honey, you have much more artistical talent than what you think. And if you were to tap on your creativity, you would be so productive. In your past life, you were in France. Do you like France or Italy? Do you have any connection with this area?
I've partial Italian descent, and I have a brother-in-law in France.
That's what I'm trying to say. You do have past life out there, honey. Well, I see you being fussy and picky, or critical, too. And that's good if you want to learn or practice homeopathic medicine. Do you like plants, herbs, and greens, things like that?
Oh, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Now, remember, Pisces was your feet, okay? Aries,
yes.
The head, and Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac, controls your feet. All Pisces regenerate from the magnetic field of the earth by walking barefoot. Is there any water close to you, like a lake, a river, or the ocean?
Yes, a lake.
What do you have?
I grew up barefoot.
Good, good. That's your best way to regenerate, to take your shoes off and walk on the dirt or by the beach with your feet on the water. So if you get depressed or insecure, go and recharge your battery this way, okay?
Okay.
All right, Rob. Now, next
Thank
year,
you.
The head of the dragon is moving right on you. Okay?
Okay.
That means if you're in a bad relationship, you're going to be forced out. And if you're by yourself, you want to make sure to go out after the new moon and swim upstream. Don't think of the past. No guilt. No poisoning, meaning doctor prescriptions or any form of religion and apocalyptic time, things of this nature. Don't dwell on that. Don't swim downstream, okay?
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. Good luck to
you.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, bye.
Well, I mean, how more precise can the power of the dragon be? Those two ladies, they don't know each other. They call from different parts of the United States. Both of them were born with the tail of the dragon, and both of them have lost their mother because of heart problems. See? It's all mathematics. Now, when it took me 35, 40 years to understand the power of the dragon, and it took me another 4 to 5 years to crystallize my knowledge under the form of a 525-page book called The Power of the Dragon. I tell you what, go to my website, click on books, and get The Power of the Dragon so you'll understand so much more about what your dragon wants you to do. A lot of people out there, they complain every day. Oh, I cannot make any money. I'm not happy. Nobody loves me. God knows what. All problems are coming from a blockage. Most of the time, this blockage is due because of a lack of education that snap away your self-esteem. So, take the time to go to my website, okay? www.drturi.com, drturi.com. Click on books and get The Power of the Dragon. You will be amazed. Today I got this lady. She says, Dr. Turi, I am 100% sure that my brother is the Zodiac killer in San Francisco. And she starts to explain to me a few things, why she would believe her brother is the killer, the serial killer. And I said, I immediately recognize a Gemini dragon stale in her email. So I went to my book, I copy and paste a couple of serial killers that are very well known that were born, like her brother, with the dragon stale in a negative sign. So this lady emailed me back, and she says, oh my gosh, I am so happy you're bringing some understanding, some logic into a problem that has literally crucified me and the police for years. She says, I'm going to take what you sent me, and I'm going to submit it to the police and to the FBI, because I believe with the bottom of my heart that they should use astropsychology. There is such a similarity between what you wrote, not knowing my brother, and those criminals, which seems to fit like a glove. So,
Dr. Turi?
Yes? Your name?
Hello, I'm so delighted to be able to, that you're on the air and I can hear your program.
Thank you, sweetheart. It's a delight to talk to you, too. What's your name, honey?
My name is Velma.
Alva?
Velma.
Oh, Delma. Okay, and what's your date of birth, honey?
October 7th.
And what year?
47.
What's your question?
First of all, my number one question was, I went out and I tried to buy the book.
Which one?
The
Power of the Dragon, Moon Power?
Yes, the Moon Power.
The Moon Power.
And I cannot get it at Barnes & Noble. Where would I get it?
To get it, Barnes & Noble have to order it from Ingraham, which is going to order it from us. So the best thing you could do is to go to my website, click on books, and order from there. You can go to your library if you don't have any computer. Fill up the paperwork, you put your credit card in there, we ship that to you.
Okay.
Or you can also try Amazon. No, I don't think Amazon.com has it as well. It's a very unique edition this year. It's a very big book, very thick book, over 400 pages.
Okay.
So,
well, first of all, I want you to know that you are truly a gift to the world.
Oh, sweetheart, I appreciate that.
Truly, being able to have...
One of us as a gift, and, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to find mine and to tab on it so that I can help society. Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Beautiful. Well, I'd like to know about my dragon's head. Where am I?
Your dragon's head is Leo. Taurus. Do you have any neck problem or not?
Well, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and it feels like it's arthritis, but typically no and yes.
Okay. Well, do you have any thyroid problem?
Any what?
Thyroid.
Thyroid.
Thyroid, sorry.
Yes.
Thyroid, yes.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
All right. Yes, good. All right, so your dragon's tail is Scorpio, which means a very, very mystical, magical sign that represents a lot of your past life involving the medical field and witchcraft. Again, remember, witchcraft means the craft of handling the forces of nature for good or for bad. That's what you call the white witch or a black witch. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay, so apparently... In your chart, you have been in many, many, many past lives, involved with the metaphysics, healing people, yeah. helping people with natural means, herb, plants, astrology. And sad enough, in some of the countries that you lived, including Russia and Switzerland, the people didn't like what you did, and you've been hanged. And this is why you have kind of neck problem or thyroid problem. You carry with you the legacy of the traumatic experience you went through in those lives. And that could mean also sometimes a fear to dwell with astrology because of a religious poisoning, so to speak. Do I make sense?
Yes, and that's probably why I could never stand to wear anything around my neck.
Yeah, that's
because
exactly
I thought
what it
I
is.
Was suffocating.
So you are a white witch, and the universe wants you to relearn the laws. Remember, you're a Libra. Libra is the laws. You have the laws of man, which means the light in the street, the stop sign in the street, and all the books that are written by men, including the Bible. God never came down and wrote no books. The other side of the scale represents a different set of laws, a set of laws that is written in the stars with the divine through the universal structure. Being a Libra, the sign of psychology or astral psychology, this is what I teach all over the world, is your soul's purpose. You need to understand those laws so that you can the laws of men and the laws of God, outside of religion, of course, to lead a balanced, harmonious, progressive life. Make sense?
Makes sense. Are you going to come
now, being a Scorpio tail, you don't trust people too well. And you're kind of very private, and you're born an investigator and a philosopher. Got all that?
I got it.
All right, sweetheart.
Thank you so very much.
You're surely welcome. Thank you for calling. Well, now she's got a moon in Cancer also, which means she's a natural caretaker. She likes to cook, and she's got a huge, huge heart. She uses her heart, not her head, and she gets, of course, in the process, hurt. Maybe she heard that. I'm sure she did. Beautiful lady. Beautiful lady. All right. Now, we've got another 3 minutes, so I'm not going to take any more calls. I'm completely and entirely exhausted. I still will fulfill my commitment with the management and guiding you the best way I can. But you have to realize every single day the orders are pouring. I'm asking you. I'm asking you to be patient. Please don't call. Don't call for your to know where your order is all about, what's the statue of your order. Email us. Email Samantha, and she will tell you where you're at. But remember again, you did not order a bag of groceries. You ordered a piece of the divine, and I can only do one or two reading a day, and I got hundreds piling up. So it's either I bring my price to $500 or $1,000 per reading to stop you to order, or you be patient and you wait. The best thing you got to do is simply pass your order and sleep on it. Forget about it. And every month or so, just email us to see where you're at. And in time, when the universe decides to do so, you will get this package. You will get your 90-minute tape where I will walk you into the divine, where I will tell you the best month ahead of you for 2006. And, of course, when the light will be fully red, where you will have to be a little bit more cautious. I will teach you the universal laws. I will talk about your dragon, your past life, your help. I will guide you the best way I can. And there is so many people who have trusted me and invested in me. I'm asking you, if you do so, please be patient. It may take 2, 3, or 4 months for you to get that tape. But when it will be there, it'll be very well worth your time and your patience. And that is a promise from me to you. I will take this opportunity to thank every one of you to listen to Dr. Therese Starlight Show. And everybody, have a good night, and we see you next Wednesday. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.